but inadvertently I've sort of pushed God out to the side. I wonder if right now you would just ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Some of you are here and, boy, life came crashing in on you this week. Maybe a health issue, a work issue, a circumstance, a situation. Life just caved in on you. I wonder if you would just take that and surrender that to the Lord. Just say, hey, Lord, things caved in on me this week. And man, I need you to take it and make sense of it. I just need you to make sense of it right now. Now, for some of you, things are great. You're going down the middle of the road and life is just good. But you know some folks that are struggling. So I wonder if you would take just a minute, be a little selfless, and lift their name to the Lord. Pray and think about others right now for just a moment. Lift their names to the Lord. Well, Father, we want to thank you for this time to pray, time to come together. And now, Lord, as we continue on in this service, we pray you'll be pleased. But Holy Spirit, please don't stop talking to us. Please don't stop convicting and drawing and comforting and bringing answers to tough questions and breathing hope and comfort into the lives of these your people. Father, as we look to your word, as we dedicate some families here in just a minute, Father, we just pray that you would send the Holy Spirit in a powerful way to continue to work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we've got a great thing. We had baptism this morning, and right now we have some parent-child dedication going on. So families, come on up. We got Sunshine and Ariana. Where are you? There's Ariana. Ariana. Yeah, come on up here, Ariana. Yeah, y'all come on up here. Come on up here so they can see you. All right. Now, I got to tell you, after years of doing this, I've learned not to try to hold the babies, right? Because how many of you know the minute I go to grab them, they're going to start crying? Anybody know that that's true? Right, that's just how it works. So I will just pat, all right? And say again, Ariana? Ariana. Ariana is sweet. I met Ariana last week, or a couple weeks ago, I guess, for the first time, and she is so pretty. Looked like my little girl with blonde hair and blue eyes. Ariana, it's good to have you, baby. Glad you're here. Sunshine, what's happening? Now, doesn't that look like sunshine? Amen? That is awesome. Well, let me tell you what we do here. A lot of churches have different traditions that they follow. Some churches baptize infants, and they baptize infants for one of a couple of reasons. One, some churches believe it eliminates original sin. They believe that if you baptize an infant, then that abolishes original sin. Some churches baptize infants because it's a sign of the covenant. In the Old Testament, the sign of the covenant was circumcision. So in the New Testament, some churches teach that the sign of the covenant is baptism. We simply don't see that defined clearly in the New Testament. So here at Grace, what we do is we covenant and we dedicate. You look in the scriptures, it wasn't unusual that David was dedicated, Samuel was dedicated. You have people throughout scripture that was dedicated to the Lord as babies, and we believe that that is the proper picture. So what does that mean? That means we're saying together, families are saying about their children, we are dedicating to raise our children in a biblical Christian home. We will do the best we can to order our time, to order our days, to order our priorities, to reflect Christ. And then we're asking the Lord in his time to redeem and save these little children, because we know God loves them, and in his time will redeem them, call them to himself, and save them. Amen? Amen. So we dedicate today. So I'm going to read this, and when I say we do, then just sort of respond, I'll sort of direct that, okay? All right, so I can read it correctly. We're talking about surrendering time today, and time is no respecter of persons, so here we go. All right. Believing, families, that children are a gift from the Lord, and they certainly are. We this day acknowledge God's sovereign design for this child and the placement into our or my hands. As his or her parents, we accept and take seriously our part of the stewardship in the training of this child in such a way that they or she will have every opportunity to know the Lord in a personal love relationship. Now, we commit ourselves to a God-ordained responsibility of instructing her from the Word of God. We will do our best to present her the claims of the gospel, both by words and by lifestyle. Parents, that's a big thing you're taking on. It's a big thing. We purpose before Holy God to live our lives in a manner that would demonstrate our unwavering love for her, for our child, as our Savior, and so do modeling the commitment before this precious gift from the Lord. We do this day now, dedicate ourselves to a life of Christ-likeness. And here it is, and we dedicate our child, we dedicate her to the Lord with wholehearted commitment. We will train her in the ways of the Lord so that when she is old, she will not depart from Christ. Amen? Now, congregation, amen. Yeah, amen. That's great. Now, congregation, I'm going to ask you to do something. As often as you see these children, first step will be crawling, some toddling, down our aisles and in our hallways and up and down our steps. When you hear them announcing their presence in the middle of service, can I get an amen? We welcome that as a sign of life here. That is not a distraction to us. That is a sign of life. And signs of life should be celebrated. And so as you hear our children, see our children, we want to encourage you to pray for them, to take them before the Lord in prayer, their family, so that God would protect them, God would be with them, and that God would grow them. And in one day, God would redeem them, call them unto themselves, and they too will walk as Christian children. If you promise to do that, please say amen. Now let's pray together. Well, Father, we love children, and we are thankful you have brought them into our fellowship. Father, we pray for these parents. We pray for these children, for the grandparents, for the aunts, the uncles, the cousins, the in-laws. Father, the brothers and the sisters. We pray that all involved in their lives will model godly behavior, a Christ-like attitude. Lord, may we as a church be a safe place that when they stumble, this is where they come to get up. When hard times come, this is where they come to find peace. May we always be a church with an open door and a loving heart and grace flowing from our language. Father, bless these parents and bless these children. We dedicate them now to you and to your glory and to your greatness. In Christ's name, amen, amen, and amen. Let's tell them we love them. I got a bag for you, too. Just a second. There we go. All right. Right. Stephanie. Oh, Stephanie's got that for you right there. Great. Great. At this time, also, we're going to release our Grace Kids. Where are our Grace Kids? Where are you? Let's tell them we love them. More and more children, that's a good thing. How many of you have had the sad opportunity, and I don't want to get too much into this, but how many of you have had the sad opportunity to be in a church with empty cribs and empty children areas? Have you ever been in a church like that? Pretty sad picture. Pretty sad. It's not a picture of life. It's not a picture of life. So we celebrate, without a doubt, these kids. Well, we're going through Lent. Lent is that time between Ash Wednesday and Easter, where the Christian church, or at least much of the Christian church, remembers Jesus' preparation for his ministry. If you remember, Jesus was baptized and he went into the wilderness for 40 days. That 40 days was a preparation time. Remember, he was tested by the devil. Anybody remember that? Anybody remember the devil? All right. The devil tested and tempted Jesus during that time. And in Lent, we separate ourselves as Christians and we surrender things in our lives to prepare to be used by the Lord in the coming days. So when we come in Easter, man, we're going to be rocking. It is going to be a party because we have worked these 40 days to to be introspective in our life, to get rid of anything and everything that separates us from walking with the Lord in intimacy. And so on Easter Sunday, may we can celebrate the reality of the resurrection and that really matter and make an impact in our life. And so that's what we're doing, been doing. And today we're going to talk about surrendering our time. Everyone is a victim of time. Everyone is either blessed by it or a victim of it. Time respects no one. It comes and it goes, and we don't get to control it. I heard a story. This old teacher, that would not be my wife, amen? All right? An old teacher who taught English stood up, and there was this little boy who was having a really hard time with verb tenses. I have problems with verb tenses and subject-verb agreements and disagreements. All of you grammar geeks probably correct me every Sunday. Okay, you messed that one up, and you messed that one up. I used to have a lady in my first church who would bring a list after every sermon of all my mistakes, and it was staggering. So anyway, the old teacher stands up and says to the student, okay, I want you to tell me what tense this is. I am beautiful. You know what the student said? Past tense. Hey, I'll be here all day. Don't know. More to come. It's just now starting to work, right? Here's what we know. Here's the bottom line up front. You become what you do, and you do what you give your time to. That is a universal reality that unites and links all of us. You become what you do, and you do what you give your time to. Friedrich Nietzsche, the existentialist, said it like that. He said, we are a product of our choices and our actions. At some time, when you're dedicating yourself to what you do, those activities, the priorities that were established to cause you to make those decisions, right, begin to shape who you are and form who you are. And so as we go through this very quickly this morning, I'm going to ask you to surrender your time to the Lord. Just try it until Easter. I'm going to ask you to surrender your days, your weeks, and your months, just a few weeks actually till Easter. I'm going to ask you to surrender them to the Lord because here's what I know. Every minute you surrender to the will and the work of Christ, you will not regret. Every day you surrender your life saying, God, I want to honor you, model you, Jesus, I want to be like you. Every day you do that, you will not regret. Every month you spend reordering your priorities that direct you toward doing the work of Christ, you will not regret. You won't regret it. I have never met a person, and I've been in this 30 years now, I have never met a person dying on their deathbed who said, oh man, I regret spending my life for the Lord. That was just a bummer. Never. In 30 years, I've never heard anybody look back on their life who dedicated their time to the Lord who regretted. But I can't count how many are in the opposite camp. So if you have your Bibles, open quickly to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and let's work through this together. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says this about time. Now remember, this is the challenge. The challenge is surrendering your time. You become what you do, and you do what you spend your time on. So here we go. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Now when you read the Bible and you see the word time or season, oftentimes those words are interchangeable. The idea is epic, an epoch, a season of time, a period of time. Maybe not so much a day, could be months or it could be years. So the idea is somewhat interchangeable. It's not talking about the tick-tock of the clock and then the calendar and all of that. It's just talking about a season of time. So Scripture says, for in everything, there's a season and time for every matter under heaven. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Today we got to celebrate the time to be born. Amen? Man, what a beautiful thing, too. But you know what's going to happen? The day will come, we'll gather in this building, and one of us will be laying in a box, and it will be a dying time. When you surrender all of your days and weeks and months and years to the Lord, when the seasons change, listen to me, when the seasons change, and you've surrendered your time to the Lord, you accept the changing season as part of God's plan. But some of you sit here today fighting God at every change of season. Every time your body changes, every time your work situation changes, you're in a battle with the Lord. God hates me. God ignores me. God doesn't like me. Look what's going on with me. I'm marginalized. I'm regulated to insignificance. And a lot of that's because you've not recognized that God is the God of time. Surrender your time to the Lord, and birthing times and dying times become a little easier. Then it goes on and says this: there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. There's a time to kill. There's a time to heal. There's a time to break down and a time to build up. Sometimes old things have to be broken down and moved away so new things can come. Now, how many of you know, maybe you inherited the family farm, and I this might be true of some of you. Back there in the back, you know, your great-granddaddy built a shed. Now, that shed should have been burnt down about 100 years ago. Can I get an amen? But it's not, because granddaddy built it. But now you have to build a new house. You have to drop a new well. You have to do something. And that old shed needs to go. Now, some people can't let go of that. And they would argue with me, you shouldn't let go of that. But you know what? Sometimes, there's a season to break down because there's a season to build up. Sometimes you got to let go of that so you can move ahead. It's hard to do, particularly in our community. We live in a small community for a reason. I live here by choice, right? It's hard to let go sometimes of the things of the past. But you know what? There come seasons and changes where you have to. Look, God is building this beautiful mosaic, this beautiful picture called your life. And in order to get to the next frame, that beautiful scene that God has for you, time has to tick by. And things have to change. Now, if you can't do that and accept that, you'll miss the blessing God has for you tomorrow. So, sometimes that just has to happen. Now, there's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. There is no doubt there's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. Folks, there's a time when people pass that you're to mourn and that you're to weep. That's healthy. I've had it in my life. You heard me talk about my mother many times. I mourned that one for a long time. Some of you have buried people that you've loved very dearly, and you've mourned that for a long time. That is the right thing to do. But Scripture says that God is the God of epochs and times and seasons. That season should end in your life. And a healthy person will put aside the weeping in the morning and begin to laugh again. When I talk to my aunts now, I don't cry all the time about my mother. We tell stories about my mother, and we laugh. Isn't it great to make fun of people when they can't defend themselves? Can I get an amen? And there comes a time when you got to do that. You're not dishonoring their memory. You're not being disrespectful to their thoughts. You're not doing that. You're being a healthy person. And you're saying, you know what? There was a time to do that. And it was right. But now there's a time to enjoy life. The Scripture says it, that there's a time to mourn and a time to dance. Solomon, who wrote this, was not a Baptist. All my former Baptists got that. I heard an old preacher say once, a praying knee and a dancing foot shall not exist on the same limb. Sounds great, just not in the Bible. There's a little problem. Good preaching, bad Bible, right? What Paul is saying, or what Solomon is saying here is, folks, God is the God of epochs and seasons and times. There is a time to mourn and weep, but there's also a time to laugh and enjoy life again. That is not dishonorable. That is healthy. God is the God of seasons. He changes those. Let me look on. Solomon goes on, say there's a time to cast away stones, there's a time to gather stones together, there's a time to embrace, there's a time to refrain from embracing, there's a time to seek, and a time to give up for what is lost, there's a time to keep, and a time to cast away. In other words, there's a time to keep stuff, and there's a time to throw stuff away. Now, my dear mother was a hoarder before hoarding was cool. Anybody understand that? I'm telling you, and when they built their house in Alabama, we made sure she built a basement, so all that stuff could be hoarded in the basement. But I'm telling you, she had stuff. I promise you, the Smithsonian didn't know what it was. I mean, we could take it. And I would say, Mom, what are you doing with it? And she's like, somebody might need it. Nobody knows what it is. Man, she was a hoarder before hoarding was cool. When I preached her funeral, I said she died before she got to that part of the verse. There's a time to keep and there's a time to throw. What's he saying? Seasons change. What's valuable to you today might not be as valuable to you later on. Because seasons change. Time changes. When you surrender your time to the Lord, you weather those changes a whole lot easier than if you hold on tightly. Go on, Scripture says. There's a time to tear down. There's a time to sow. There's a time to keep silent. There's a time to speak. I'm going to read that one more time. There's a time to keep silence, and there's a time to speak. Anybody need me to read that a third time? Back in the day, when I used to really love golf, seasons change. There was a season when I was addicted to golf. Then there was a season came where I liked golf. Then there's season that come where I remembered golf. And now there's a season where I can barely spell golf. Right? But back in the earlier season, I had a chance to go to the Masters. It was really cool. And very polite people at the Masters, by the way. I think they go to like a manners class. You know, everyone is polite. And if you go to many golf tournaments or watch them, you'll see them holding up white signs with red letters that says, shut up. I said, shut up in church. I don't care. It said, shut up. But now in the Masters, it doesn't say that because they're polite. It says, hush. So they hold up signs that says, hush. How many of y'all want me to make those signs and send them home with you? Anybody need one of those? Okay. All that means is this. All that means is this. The right thing said at the wrong time becomes the wrong thing. Can I say it again? The right thing said at the wrong time becomes the wrong thing. What you have to say and when you have to say it have to be in alignment. And Solomon just says, look, there's a time you need to speak and there's a time you need to hush. Because maybe that time has passed or it hasn't come yet. Seasons change. Then it goes on. So there's a time to keep silent, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, time for war, and a time for peace. God is saying through Solomon something very simple. He's saying this. Solomon is saying, times, they do change, and they affect all of us. If we surrender time to the Lord and recognize Him as sovereign, ruler, and providential over time, we recognize that. Then the change in seasons cause adjustments, not devastation. Seasons change. They change in our lives. I remember life before these. Anybody with me? I remember life when I had hair. True, I have pictures. I remember life when I was skinny. When I could go eat two Big Macs, not gain an ounce. Now I drive by McDonald's and I have to go buy new pants. Are you with me on that? I mean, you drive by Dairy Queen and I got to take a shot of insulin, you know? I'm a diabetic. It's horrible. Seasons change. Time changes our lives. It just does. I'm not saying it's always fun. I'm not saying it's always easy. I'm not saying you're always going to like it. But during this particular time of Lent, here's what I know. If you will surrender time to the Lord and say, God, you are sovereign and ruler and providential over time. If you will do that, the changing seasons in life will be easier. That is absolutely for sure. Now, the second thing I want you to see real quick is God is specific with His time concerning you. Look at Psalm 139, verse 16. The Bible says this. Now, Lord, your eye saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. God ordered your days. So let me say something to you that could encourage you today. You are virtually invincible until God is ready to call you home. Can I get an amen on that? God is, and I say virtually, because I learned something. There was this old Baptist preacher. He lived here in Florida. He's retired now, but he said something to me that came into my life at a pretty rough time and said something that made sense. I want you to listen. Here's the exception. He said, Terry, everybody is one step from stupid. He said, the problem is you take that step more than others. And I said, well, that's pretty true. I can't fight that one too much. So here's what that means. God has ordered your days. Now, can you be sort of crazy and make unwise choices and do some things that aren't smart? Sure you can. Sure you can. But God has ordered your days. Every one of them is numbered. Now, that should say two things to you. One, I'm going to live to the fullest for the glory of God until He calls me home. I don't know how long that is, but I'm going to do it. And the other thing it should do is give you some confidence that God even has your final destination and plans in order. Because He loves you that much. And He cares about you that much. It's hard. It's hard to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to trust you with time. But I want you to try, at least until Easter, to do this every day. Are you ready? Here's the takeaway. Here's the challenge. Every morning you wake up, just try it till you get to Easter. Say, Lord, I want to order my life according to your priorities. I want to order my day according to your priorities. I want to live according to your word today. I want the time. Now, look, that doesn't, we all have to work. So we have to be, use some common sense here. We got to go to work. If you're in school, you got to go to school. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about your discretionary time. So when you come out of that, your discretionary time, Lord, I want to honor you with this discretionary time. I want to do what it is you want me to do. You speak to me and I'll do it. You put someone in front of me to minister to, I'll do it. You put someone on my heart that needs help, I'll go help them. Father, if you put someone in my way that needs to know the gospel, that needs to know the truth, man, I'm going to share it. I want to challenge you between now and Easter to just try it. Try surrendering your time to the Lord. Here's a couple of things. Reason why I'm begging you to do it today. First, is sort of the downer. Scripture also says it's appointed unto man once to die. Appointed is a time word. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Everybody in this room, barring the second return of Christ, we will see death. We will. I don't want to be a bummer today, but that's just reality, right? It's true. We're all gonna go that way. The Bible says God's ordered when that time is. It would be horrible for me to come see you in that last season, that last period of time that God has for you, and you are looking back with decades of regret. Man, that would break my heart because I love you. And I don't want you to look back on regret. Man, that would be a horrible thing for you to look back and say, man, I wish I'd have taught that Sunday school class. Man, I wish I'd have been in that life group. I wish I would have shared with that neighbor. I wish I would have helped out with the youth. Man, I wish I would have engaged with kids ministry. I wish I would. It would be horrible to sit at that point in your life and look back saying, woulda, coulda, shoulda. That would be horrible. So I'm begging you to surrender your time to the Lord. But here's the second thing you need to know. In the book of Joel, the people of God had wandered away from the Lord, and it was bad. And God was sending this plague of locusts on the people of God. But God says in the middle of that process that if you will repent, if you will turn from your wicked ways, I will restore your land and give you back the days, the years that the locusts have eaten. I will restore to you what has been lost. If you will come back to me. Some of you are here this morning, and well, let's just be honest, because we're honest here at Grace. This is an honest church, right? We're not fancy, we're just honest. Honest is you've got more years in your rearview mirror than you do your windshield. All right? Y'all with me on that? There's more behind you than's in front of you. And you're looking back and you're going, man, you know, hadn't really hit a home run for a lot of decades. Sort of struck out some. Here's the great news. If you will return to the Lord right now, if you will come back to Christ right now, listen to what I'm saying to you. God can restore some of those years. Does He turn back the clock? No, but He amplifies your impact. And He amplifies your relationships. And He amplifies what you have moving ahead. That it seems as though He's turned back the clock. Now, God will offer that to you today. But you got to want to. The last verse, you don't have to turn there, but it's in Daniel 2:21, basically says this. It is God who changes the seasons and appoints and removes kings. God is the one who's controlling all time to its end. Who leads, who serves, who follows, who lives, and who dies. It is God who's controlling it. So now let me ask you a logical question. Why not surrender to Him? Why not surrender the time He's given you to Him? Why not do that and trust the Creator of the universe with the rest of your days? God loves you today. He cares for you more than you'll ever know. He wants to take what time He's allotted for you and see it used for greatness. Life is too short to harbor bitterness and unforgiveness. If you're here today and you're harboring bitterness and unforgiveness, listen, man, your days are too short to carry that weight. You were not designed to carry that weight. That stuff will crush you and suck the life right out of you. Get rid of it. Forgive and let go. Well, Terry, I don't want to be their friend. I didn't say anything about being their friend. You don't have to be their friend. There are some people, and again, we're honest, there are some people that I don't like. You're a preacher. You're supposed to like everybody. No, I'm supposed to love everybody. And I love them and I pray for them. And I'm not going to tell you what I pray for. There's all kinds of prayers in the Bible. Look them up. And it's in the Bible. You know, but forgive them. Forgive them. Get the weight off of your heart. Get the bitterness out of your life. Forgive them. Don't let them live rent-free inside your head. The first thing you learn in AA, don't let people live rent-free inside of your head, because that will not produce good things in your life. Can I get an amen? Get them out of there. Your life is too short to have no purpose or meaning. Your life is too short to be a paycheck in a retirement fund. Because can I tell you a little secret? Paychecks can go away and retirement funds can disappear. Your life is too short to be a paycheck in a retirement fund. And then finally, I want to speak to parents because we have babies. You're in a season that is beautiful and wonderful. You're in a season like no other. All right, parents, I want to see you smile. How many remember little babies like this? You remember that? Remember when you brought them home and they were so sweet? And then how many of you remember the day when you really wanted to sell them? Can I get a witness? Right. Now, you didn't want them gone for long. You know, you wanted them back in like 2 or 3 minutes. But they were, you just needed a break. Remember that? We all needed that, right? There's a season that you're in. Parents, if you still have kids at home, track with me for just a minute. I'm almost done, I promise you. I'm going to land the plane right here. But I want to share this with you. You're in a season that will not last forever, and it will be gone before you turn around. And God has given you the opportunity to spiritually form and shape your kid. You get the opportunity to be involved in the spiritual formation of a life. Now, the decisions you make and the priorities you make with your time, we're talking about time, is going to signal to that kid what your values are and what's important to you. How you order your weekend, how you order your week, is going to signal to that kid what is most important to you. They're going to absorb that, they're going to get that, and they're going to run further left than that. That's just how it works. So I want to encourage you, while God gives you the chance to have these precious babies at home, even these precious teenagers, we still have them. spiritually shaping their lives. Remember, every time decision you make sends a signal of who you are, what you value, and who you're becoming. So please, take your time. Dedicate it to the Lord, more so than anything else you can do. And I promise you, your kids, when they have kids, will not knock on your door and say, "Man, I can't believe you drug me to church. I can't believe you made me read the Bible. I can't believe you made me serve in the children's ministry. I can't believe..." They won't do it. They will not do it. You know what they're going to do? They're going to say, "Thank you. Thank you, because as the world is spiraling apart, I have a firm foundation to stand on. I have confidence to face tomorrow when the world is cracking and crumbling. Thank you for spiritually shaping my life in that early, early season." Now, those of us in that later season, one more reminder, don't let another day pass without dedicating your time to the Lord. You have the time, you have the resources, you have the talent to do great things. Don't let it pass. God loves you. He wants to use you at every season of life. Surrender your time to the Lord and watch what He does. Amen? Pray with me if you will. As we get ready to serve communion, we ask our ushers to come forward who's helping with communion. If you're helping with communion, please come forward. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'd ask you to please take just a moment and confess your sins. Scripture teaches that we're to come to the table of the Lord in a worthy manner. That means we're to confess our sins. So please take just a moment. Confess your sins. And now I wonder if you would take a moment and thank the Lord. Thank Jesus for His life, death, burial, and resurrection. When was the last time you said, "Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for resurrecting from the grave. Thank you for being my Lord." When was the last time you just said thank you? Father, you've heard the prayers of your people. I pray now that you would bless them, Lord. Thank you for the certainty and the assurance of forgiveness of sin. Thank you for that. And now, Lord, as we come to your table, Holy Spirit, we pray that you will attend closely to this time. Holy Spirit, we ask that this will be an encounter with you, not just a religious practice, but people will actually sense your presence, and you will actually speak to their heart and their mind. Lord, some people are carrying a heavy burden here today. Lord, I just pray that you would lift it and speak peace and stillness to their soul. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the Bible says this, the Apostle Paul says, "For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and gave thanks. He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Now, in the same way, also, after supper, he took the cup and he said, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" The Lord Jesus instructed his followers to come together and to remember him through this process we call communion. Now, a couple things about communion before we come very quickly. One, we practice what's called open communion here at Grace. Here's what that means. We believe if you're a child of God, you are invited to this table. You do not have to be a member of this church. You really don't have to be a member of any church. But we do ask that you know Christ. That is the criteria. You must be a Christian. You must know the Lord personally. Second, we offer two different modes. One mode is called intinction. That's the big word. Take some bread, dip it in the cup, and partake of it quickly. The spiritual reason is we don't want you to drip on the carpet. Okay? That's the spiritual reason. All right. Second is the cup method. I won't touch it. But the cup methods, there's two cups. The bottom one's the bread. The top one's the juice. Please pick those up. And you're going to hear these guys say to you what Jesus said. This is my body, which is given for you. This is my blood shed for you, a new covenant in my blood. We do not believe that the elements transmute or change, but we do believe it's a spiritual encounter with the Lord. Charles Wesley, John Calvin, John Knox, all the reformers believed that communion was the significant time in the church calendar. It is the time where the Spirit of God hovers more closely than ever before. This is both a celebration of the life we have in Christ, amen, and it's also a remembrance that this celebration came at a pretty high price, the price of our Lord Jesus' life. And so as we come, we remember and we celebrate. In just a minute, we're going to stand up and I'm going to pray for you and we'll come forward. Sort of the way we do this, this side come to this side, this side come to this side, and y'all in the middle just sort of eyeball it, okay? Stand with me if you will, and let's pray together. Well, Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come around your table. Lord Jesus, you lived, you died, and you resurrected to give us new life. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for your body that was given and for your blood that was shed. And we have access to the throne room of heaven because of your life, death, and resurrection, Jesus. And we thank you. We come to your table celebrating and being overwhelmingly thankful. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen and amen. Come to the table. Day.
buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, a glorious day, a glorious day.
Want to make sure everyone's had the opportunity to receive the elements this morning. I don't want to rush through this. If anybody, we're still working up here. Just want to make sure we don't rush through this time. Okay, I think we're good, guys. Okay, we're good? Okay. Very good. Well, let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time around your table. Lord, thank you for allowing us to participate in something that is spiritually significant in our lives individually, in transformation, really in the life of the church. So thank you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Then quickly, ushers, come forward, please. This is the time in our service where we'll take up our tithes and offerings. Ushers, please come forward quickly. Quickly. But we give here at Grace for two reasons. We give because Jesus is Lord, and we give because the gospel is the most important message in the world. So we invite you to give, unless you're a guest. If you're a guest, the only thing we would ask you to do is fill out this card, drop it in the plate. We'd love to have record of your visit. If the plate passes you and you miss it, no big deal. Guys, just a second. Yeah, we'll start. And then we have these boxes that you can put your cards in, so don't forget to do that, because we'd love to pray for you for sure. Let's pray. Father, we pray now that you bless those who give, those who can't. Father, we pray you encourage. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Announcements. Okay, announcements. Ryan, go ahead.
He thought I was giving announcements. They're trying to tell me not to give announcements this morning. Anybody college age, singles, we have Bible study at our house tonight at 6 o'clock. We'd love for you to come and be there. We'll have free food. It's a great time to fellowship and hang out as singles. We're doing a study called Anxiety. I know that singles, we have no anxiety at all ever. But we're also inviting any high school seniors to start coming to be a part of this Bible study with us, because we want you to start plugging into that next level. A lot of times they say that students, when they graduate high school, they graduate their faith. We don't want them to do that. We want them to know they still have a place here at Grace and here in God's body. So tonight, 6 o'clock, our house. If you need directions or you need an address, come and see me. I'll be down front. But Wednesday nights are going on as usual. We'd love to have you come and join us. We're having a great time fellowshipping at 5:30 with dinner. And if you're planning on coming, just kind of put that on your card. Say, hey, how many reservations you've got for dinner? Put that in the card so they kind of get an idea of how many people to expect. But that's all I got.
Great, thanks. Okay, a couple things. Robin. Come on up.
So here in Palatka, we have our local Christian radio station. It's 91.3 Hope FM. If you're not already listening, please do. Oh, you've heard of it. I'm so glad. So we are a listener-supported ministry, and this week is our fundraiser. We do it once a year, and we look for folks to make a monthly commitment or one-time donation, and we're thankful to only have to do that once a year. And since it's this week, I'm thankful for Pastor Terry letting me remind you And I want to say thank you, because a lot of you are already giving, and I appreciate that so much. We've just seen God do some pretty amazing things through this radio station, and so we want that to continue. So if you would consider, if you're not already giving, maybe signing up to do a monthly donation. I've got forms with me, so that way you can take care of it today and not have to call in this week. But it's going to be a lot of fun. We've had a lot of people ask what else they can do besides just giving money, like, oh, what can I do extra? We have a lot of people that volunteer for us this week. We do have need for a couple meals to be donated, or some snacks and drinks and that kind of thing for all the volunteers. So if you want to help out with any of that, come see me. The fundraiser's Tuesday through Friday. Tomorrow is what we call Praise and Prayer Day. Pastor Terry is kicking it off at 7 o'clock. So listen in for him to be on the air tomorrow morning. And we're just going to be asking people to call in throughout the day, let us know how we can be praying for them. And we're going to be talking to different pastors all day long. It's always a lot of fun. So again, if you're not already listening, 91.3, if you are listening and not giving, I invite you to do that. Thank you.
Amen. And I promise you, yep, I promise it's a great investment. The reason why we love Kenny's ministry, the reason why we love Hope FM, is because they're reaching people that we will never reach. And so when we support that, we take the gospel into different sectors that we wouldn't naturally move into. Denise, you want to give an update? Nope. Good. Next week. Okay, next week we'll get an update from Backpack. Okay, stay with me if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And as you're doing so, I have lost my keys. So if you see any keys laying around, they're probably mine. So please look. Are they in the office? Yeah, they might be. If y'all see my car here in the morning, you'll know, hey, Terry hasn't found his keys. So let's pray together. Well, Father, we love you. Thank you for a great day of celebration. Father, these 40 days of Lent, the days that the church sets aside to remember Jesus, your suffering and your sacrifice, and to look inward saying, what's in us that's keeping us from loving you and walking with you more? And we want to get rid of that. Lord, I pray you call each of us to a deeper walk during this season. And Father, I pray you bless all these, your people. Give them a great week. Surround them, Lord, with your peace and your grace. Remind them that your mercy is new every morning. And we thank you for that. Father, protect and heal those who are hurting. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Bring somebody with you next week.